Thank you so much. I just said Ron's quoting his mama again. For those of you who've met his mama, I will tell you that she is wiser and funnier than he is. I know that we're spending some time today talking through a whole bunch of issues, and I appreciate everybody coming here. I appreciate those who are participating, as well as my members of my cabinet. Everybody in this room and all of your readers care about getting folks back to work and to strengthen the economy. And so today I held up the bill, the American Jobs Act, that is designed to do just that. And I'm calling on Democrats and Republicans to come together in Congress and pass it right away. I know you've already heard some details, but I just want to give you a few highlights. First, this will provide tax cuts for small businesses, not big corporations, to help them hire more folks and to grow their businesses. It provides an additional tax cut for everybody who hires somebody new or provides somebody a raise. So this is going to help over 100,000 African-American-owned small businesses. Next, it puts people back to work, including 280,000 teachers laid off by state budget cuts, first responders, veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, construction workers that can rebuild our crumbling roads and bridges and schools. 35,000 public schools can be rebuilt according to this plan. And these projects will be chosen based on impact and need, not based on earmarks or politics. It expands job opportunities for hundreds of thousands of low-income youth and adults through a Pathways Back to Work fund that supports summer and year-round jobs for youth, innovative new job training programs to connect low-income workers to jobs more quickly, and successful programs to encourage employers to bring on disadvantaged workers. Number three, it helps out-of-work Americans, including the 1.4 African-American folks and their families who are out of work, by extending unemployment benefits to help support them and their families while they're looking for work. And it also reforms the training programs that are available so that they can build real skills and connect to jobs. And that will particularly help the long-term unemployed. It bans employers from discriminating against the unemployed when hiring. And it provides a new tax credit to employers hiring workers who've been out of the job for over 6 months. Number four, it puts money in your pocket, in the pockets of working and middle-class Americans, by cutting the payroll tax in half, including 20 million African-American workers who would save, for an average family, $1,500 a year. We take executive action to remove the barriers that exist in the current federal refinancing program to help Americans refinance their mortgage at historically low rates. All that helps them stay in their homes and puts more money in their pockets. Finally, this plan will not add to the deficit. It's fully paid through a balanced approach that says we've got to raise more revenues from folks who can afford it. It also makes some modifications to programs so that we can preserve them over the long term, and closing tax loopholes. And it is absolutely essential for everybody to understand that we can do all the things I talk about in this bill without adding to our deficit, without adding to our debt. Now, all of you are experts on online stuff, so I won't speak to you know, how important it is that events like this get information out. One of the things that I'm always enjoy because of this online community is that it's a two-way conversation. So some of you may have ideas about how we should get the word out, how we should frame these issues, how we should mobilize our communities in order to get it passed. I'm going to want to hear from you. To our guests from Interactive One, your ability to facilitate this sort of conversation between experts and communities in need is something that we're very interested in. So I hope that we can continue to get more people informed and keep them active in their communities and in their government. So with that, I understand, Melody, that I have time for at least one question.
Terrific.
Is it going to be somebody out here?
I'll turn to Jeff.
Yes, I definitely think it should be. If we can have someone, where is our mic? Okay, yeah, if we have a question from the audience, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Michael Tabb from Atlanta, Georgia. I just had
Sorry about your Falcons yesterday.
Let's keep on a positive note.
I'm sorry,
who were they
playing again?
Let's keep on a positive note.
Was that the Chicago Bears that he was playing?
We'll see you again in the playoffs. I had one question. I've read through the act, and I think it's an outstanding document that puts up forth a lot of new things, things that have been done in the past that should get passed.
Right.
But one thing that I did not see, and I don't quite know how it would affect entrepreneurs, is any type of investment for venture capital, private equity firms. I think it makes an assumption that businesses aren't hiring people because there's a financial incentive that they're not getting, and that if they give them a financial incentive, that they'll hire. And I think lots of businesses are very pleased not to be hiring. They like the margins. They like the increased productivity of the people they have. So what about new business, new opportunity through private equity, venture capital? Some of the things that are being done by the SBA through the CDFIs and things like that, are they going to be tied back to this so that there's going to be an investment?
Well, look, I think this is a great question. Not everything that we're doing to promote jobs and economic growth are contained in the bill, because some things we are going to try to do administratively as opposed to trying to get it through Congress. So, but if you listen to the speech on Thursday, I specifically addressed this issue and said that we're working with the Jobs Council that I set up, as well as all the agencies, to figure out how can we remove some of the barriers to startup companies capitalizing themselves. You know, how can we work with the SBA and others to make sure that somebody who's got a good idea is able to raise money and implement? And so we're going to have a whole series of things that we're doing to help small businesses precisely in the ways that you're talking about. We just don't think that we need necessarily new authority from Congress in order to get that done. So understand, this jobs bill is not exhaustive. There are a whole range of things that we're going to be doing. What this describes is what we need Congress to do in order for us to be effective. But there's some things we can do administratively. For example, the federal government is a major purchaser. You know, we have taken a lot of steps over the last couple of years, and we're going to continue to take more steps so that small businesses have the ability to access contracts with the federal government. Right now, it's very difficult to do because typically the size of these contracts are so big, they're all bundled and packaged, and it gives a huge advantage to somebody who can come in and they've got the bonding capacity and all the ability to fill out every form and meet every federal requirement. You know, A, we want to give technical assistance to folks so that they can have access. Number two, can we break up some of these contracts so that they're smaller, so that small businesses can apply? And number three, something that I may have mentioned in this, I think I mentioned in the speech on Thursday, can we speed up payments to federal vendors? You know, if you're Lockheed Martin, you know, you're getting paid over the only after 30 days is no big deal. You know, if you're a small business who's you know, contracting with HUD, you know, getting paid in 15 days instead of 30 days might make all the difference in the world in terms of you being able to grow your business more rapidly. So we're going to be doing a whole bunch of stuff that's not in the bill. But the bill has to pass in order for us to achieve the kinds of scale that are necessary to start bringing our unemployment rate down in a significant way. That was such a good question. I'll take one more.
President Obama, we have a question from one of our Twitter users. Currently, 10% of U.S. workers are employed by nonprofits. What in your jobs bill is going to spur more nonprofit job growth?
Well, first of all, the biggest loss that we've seen in employment over the last 2.5 years has been in state and local government. And so the reason we emphasize teachers, first responders in particular, is because that's where the job losses have been most prominent. We've actually created jobs in the private sector to the tune of about 2 million over the last 17, 18 months. But they've been offset by folks being laid off, teachers, first responders at state and local governments that are really feeling pinched. In the non-for-profit sector, obviously, things have been tighter during the course of this recession. That means their fundraising has suffered, and in some cases, they've had to lay off workers as well. I think our goal here is to make sure that that this administration continues to support smart non-for-profits that are partnering with the private sector, but also government, in order to achieve the kinds of goals that we've set for ourselves as a country. So, for example, you know, when we have said that we want to do more on early childhood education, a lot of that's not government. You know, if we're budgeting for that, that is giving non-for-profit organizations the capacity then to be providers in that space. You know, when we talk about on the healthcare front, we were able to preserve a big investment in community health centers. You know, a lot of those are non-for-profits. So our budget has been reflective of and recognizing that non-for-profits are a critical component of delivering important services, building capacity in our communities all across the country. One thing that is very specific in this jobs plan, for example, is neighborhood stabilization. I don't know if Sean has talked about this. You know, there are a whole bunch of communities all across the country, and some of the communities where you guys come from, if you're from Cleveland or Detroit or other places, where you got entire neighborhoods full of foreclosed homes. What can we do to turn that around? Can we rehab some of those buildings to make them rental properties? In some cases, do you just clear those buildings out and create open spaces and parks and recreation facilities for kids? And so in this plan is a neighborhood stabilization expansion, and a lot of that work would end up being carried out by non-for-profits as opposed to directly by the government. All right? Okay, everybody, so I want you guys to pump this up. We are in a critical juncture here. I've been fighting for 2.5 years to get through this economic storm. And we have stabilized, but we've stabilized an unemployment rate that is too high, and too many people are still hurting. For us to take that next step requires us to do more. And this Jobs Act can deliver. There's going to be enormous resistance. And right now, our politics makes it tougher to get things done here in Washington unless the voices of the American people are heard. So I need people to be out there promoting this and pushing this and making sure that everybody understands the details of what this would mean. So that one of two things happen. Either Congress gets it done, or if Congress doesn't get it done, people know exactly what's holding it up. And we're able to continue to apply pressure so that we can actually do what's right for the country. All right? Thank you, everybody. See you.